Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Mom?
Dad?
You think if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
Your pumpkin face. Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
Sure, it'll change our relationship. It'll make us closer.
And go to 4parents.gov.
For help on how to talk about sex.
This is important. Tell me to wait to have sex.
And don't worry.
I'll always be your muffin head.
Your cuddle bug.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Yes, indeed. Very well received. Thank you, Jack Armstrong. We appreciate you. And this is the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. Today's theme, today's conversation is men expressing their emotional selves. Before we can even do all of that, we must be clear about who we are, or else we'll get it all confused.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Well, from that place in consciousness, why wouldn't you want to express your emotional self? You're already grounded. You're already the delight of God. You're wonderful. You're free. You're healthy. You're whole. The world wants to know you, meet you, connect with you, get intimate with you. My brothers are in the house. We're ready to have a deep conversation to shift the consciousness of humanity, starting with ourselves first. This is Charles Holt. Tapping. What's tapping your consciousness? Are you listening? Pay attention. We'll be back.
You were tapping on my head. Is there something that I didn't do right? Something that I need to know? Something that I need to write? You were tapping in the nighttime. You're tapping all day. Maybe you just want to see some. Do you just want me to sing again? Tell me, what is the plan? friend, tell me how to heal my mind. Tell me how to walk this land. You are tapping in the nighttime. You're tapping all day long. Maybe I am the song of freedom. Am I the voice of so many men and women and children who love one another? Men and women and children who sing for the rivers, men, women and children who sing for the mountains, men, women and children who sing for the hungry. Children who sing for the dying, men, women and children who care for all people, men, women and children.
Hope.
This is Charles Holt.
Yes, indeed.
Straight out of the mind of God.
I know that's right.
Straight out of the mind of God, where we are all birthed from. Your question is, how may I serve today? How can I be of service? What is seeking to be birthed? What is tapping in your consciousness? You are the place where God gets to represent itself. Will you say yes? Can you hear that quiet voice inside of you? There's more. Let's do more. I want to transform through you. I want to heal through you. Let go. Forgive. Surrender. It's okay. I got your back. I am your back. I am your front. I am your foundation. All you have to do is know it. And when you know it, when you know it on a deeper level beyond your intellect, surrendering will be a little bit more easier. Because you know that you are always on solid ground. Charles Holt. Title of that song is Tapping. Something is tapping. Tap, 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 tap. Are you listening? Your emotions is tapping. Are you listening? You run from it, you may be depressing yourself. But when you listen to what is tapping, you get to express yourself. You get to decide which way you want to go. Depression lane or expression lane? You are so much more than what you're going through and growing through. All that is needed is a willing heart, willing to grow, willing to heal, willing to be more. To find out more about Charles Holt, his website address is intuitiverebel.com. Intuitiverebel.com, which is also the title of his book, Intuitive Rebel. Tuning in to the voice that matters. And you're tuning in to the radio station that matters because you know what is good for you because you tuned into yourself first. And when you tune into yourself first, you can never go wrong. So welcome home. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins, change is inspired, and you can help but make a difference. It is your nature. You came here to make a difference. You're a difference. You're a difference on legs. Your existence, your nature is about creating more expansion. You're so much more than you've been told. You're so much more than your bio. You're so much more than what your teacher said to you. You're so much more than your relationship. You're so much more than what you have or don't have in your bank account. The more you fall in love with that more, oh my God, every day you will have to keep reintroducing yourself to yourself. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. I am your host. I am. The I Am Presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach Ade, guiding and directing this conversation, and uniquely expressing as you. So together, we make a difference. Today's conversation, today's theme, we're talking about supporting men in expressing their emotional self. So much we want to cover. So much to talk about. My brothers are coming in slowly. They're almost, all of them are almost here. All of them are almost here. What does that look like? Well, you know. I know what you mean. Okay, great, good. As long as you know what I mean. Thank you for those of you listening on the phone lines. Those of you listening online, in the chat room, listening from wherever you're listening from, your mobile devices. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And those of you, Lulu said, men,
on the air now.
I love that. That's a good one, Lulu.
It's raining, man. Stop it.
No, no, no. Stop it. Stop it.
You can't be doing that. People are here to have a real conversation.
Okay.
And anyway, our archive listeners, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. And of course, within radio, ain't nobody got time for that. Focus, man.
No, it's Lulu's fault. She had me singing. I forgot my singing voice is not ready. My singing voice is sleeping. So let me just rescue myself and bring on Celeste right now. And hopefully Celeste is not going to start hyperventilating. Oh, yeah, she's kind of hyperventilating. Hey, Celeste, how are you?
I'm great, Life Coach Day. How are you doing?
I'm good. Come here, let me give you a hug. Just come here. Give you a hug and just take some deep breath, breathe in, breathe out.
I'm about to.
Well.
I'm about to step out into the quiet and the seagulls.
Okay. That's fine.
So we won't have any problems hearing the wonderful news we've got going on Life Conversations Radio.
The seagulls, is Jonathan Livingston with you too? Yeah, bring him with him. We're like, he's a man.
Absolutely. He's right here with me.
Okay, good. All right, so go ahead.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm kind of excited. Well, not kind of, very excited for this show today. But also, where else you're going to be appearing. And so I want to get to it. I just am, okay, looking for the link, dude.
Don't worry, I got you. Do the other announcements, and at the end, if you don't have it, I got you. I got you covered. It's okay. You got this.
Okay, good.
Don't relax.
Yeah, let me relax. Okay, yes. Wait. I think I'm ready for my hug now. My arms were not out.
Okay. All right. You know what I'm going to do? Up. I'm going to hug you, and I'm going to – well, actually, just before I hug you real quick, I'm going to get Joe. Joe is extending his hands out. Kasembe is extending his hands out. And Dunwolf and Ashende and myself, we're hugging. We got you in the center, and we're giving you a group hug right now. So behave yourself. We're giving you a great hug. It's okay.
Wonderful.
This.
Right. Okay, and our brother Ashende is in the Matrix, so, you know, I'm sure he's sending out his energy. Energetically. He's sending it energetically because he's stuck in the Matrix right now.
He's stuck in the Matrix.
You got that?
Did he take the wrong pill? All right, well, we'll talk about
that. He did. I think he took the blue pill.
Okay, well, it's okay. Life is about choice. Let's do the announcement so we can jump into this conversation.
Yes, absolutely. I am so ready. Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find our favorite Mad Hatter, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach a Day. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach a Day and our wonderful panel of guests can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach a Day fan like page. Just be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for a Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. Did you know that you have access to Life Coach a Day any time of the day? Sure you do. You can email him any questions you may have, and he'll answer them on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachday.com. If there's a topic you would like Life Coach a Day to explore on an upcoming show, you can email him that too. Let's get Life Coach a Day's perspective on what you see moving and shaking in the world that is impacting you. The theme for the month of December is Living with the One. And we have wonderful guests lined up who will help shift you one conversation at a time. Tomorrow, Life Coach Today is flying solo to get you some soul food for your soul with Living with the One for Yourself. We also may have a very special guest talking about the sounds of devotion. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Ambassa Safira for the play experience. Have you played with yourself today? Have you passionately loved and appreciated you? If not, take a trip on the playground every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, tune into Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today. Now, for Ancestral Blueprints, you're going to have to tune in on December 18th, since the last Wednesday is Christmas. Also, be sure to join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we connect with introspective tools like tarot to get you more clarity about your life's journey. For more info, go to thelifeconversationsmedia.com. You will find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. The Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated every Friday night on Within Radio at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Saturday nights just got hotter with the Sounds of Soul with Adeyemi Foloshe on 1-2 Radio. It's a musical show featuring music you can taste and music that will bring you back to who you really are. Get ready for some soul, R&B, pop, and much more every Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Don't let the soul train depart without you on 1-2radio.com. And if you happen to miss the show on Saturday, you can catch a rebroadcast this upcoming Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern on 1-2radio.com. Life Coach Day will be interviewed today at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on Healthy Haiku Blog Talk Radio with Dr. Imani Ma'at. Please stay tuned for more information about the call-in number and the link to get to the shows. I will be posting it everywhere so you can join this amazing conversation. There is a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. Which one are you doing? Finally, we have a special treat for you. For a donation of $5 or more to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show, we will send you a brand new, hot off the presses, MP3 guided meditation done by our very own Life Coach Today. Say yes to your good. I'm using it regularly, and I'm getting in alignment with my good. So to make a donation and check out the experience for yourself, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. Or you can simply go to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and or the Life Conversations Radio fan like pages and click the donate button. We thank you in advance, family, for being such a blessing. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Day.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. And we thank you for being such a spider woman, weaving it all together, making it work, and juggling everything.
My pleasure. Seagulls and their love.
Yeah, we appreciate that. You know, we need all of that. So Ashende won't be joining us, right?
Or is That's right.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, we're going to miss him, but he's going to be here in spirit.
Yes,
he's going to be channeling stuff through.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
See you soon.
Appreciate you.
My pleasure.
You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. The interview tonight, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. The link is, blogtalkradio.com/healthyhaiku4youth. That's healthy, H-A-I-K-U, the number 4, youth. And the call-in number, if you can get to a computer or can get online, 646-915-9853. So you can call and listen to the show as well. And the show's going to be archived. Now, let's get ready to talk about the emotional self. We're all emotional beings, and I have my brothers here.
And I welcome you. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, doubts, worries, disagreements, or even your fears, bring it to the House of Love, because we have set the intention to support you on your transformation journey. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad, and we'll come to you. Or you can post your questions and anything that you have on the land pages. If you listen for the first time, I got to break it down for you. Land pages is like page and fan page put together. So we have two pages. We have the Life Conversations Radio page, land page. You can post your questions there, or you can post it on the Ask Life Coach at a radio show, and we'll get to it. Speaking of get to it, let me get to the brothers. We are talking about expressing ourselves, particularly men, from a holistic perspective. Last month, we talked about Boys to Men, and so much was inspired in that conversation. So it's a sort of continuation, and I just want to bring on my brothers. I got Kasembe. I won't read too much of their bio, but I'll let them say a little bit about themselves. Actually, I'm just going to tell you just not much. Kasembe Abena, he's a Reiki master, energy worker. How are you doing, Kasembe? Kasembe.
Hello, sir. Hello, sir.
Yeah.
Hello, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm good, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How's life been treating you?
Oh, man, it's good, man. It's good. Coming off of, the holiday season with friends and family. It was good. It was good. A lot to be thankful for.
Yes, indeed. Let me go to Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly is an author of books on fathering, and he speaks and teaches on building relationships, harmonious relationships between fathers and daughter. Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
I'm good, Ade. Good to hear from you again.
Yes, yes, yes. Always nice to have you here to hear your wisdom. Now, Ashende is not here, as you heard, so we're going to... Well, I think the four of us can handle this conversation. Let's go to John Wolf. Don Wolf, my brother.
Yo, bro.
Don Wolf is a musician, he's a writer, he's a social activist. He's the keeper of story. My brother, how are you doing today? I try.
I feel good. It's good to hear from you all.
Yes.
It's going to be a good day.
It's going to be a good day. Because we woke up this morning. Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. Before, I have questions for you. And we want to talk about the article about the reverend who committed suicide, but we'll talk more about that. But I just really want to go to each one of you to kind of hear maybe there were some thoughts that came up for you from last show or maybe in preparation for this show, things have been bubbling up for you. So let me go to Kasembe. Kasembe, is there anything that's been bubbling up for you or maybe something you reflected on from last show, Boys to Men? And that you want to share with us?
Well, yes. I mean, there are some things that were addressed that Don Wolf had said in terms of his meeting young men and boys. And I think all of us touched on this, just the need for emotional support. And obviously the article brought that up too. I won't get into that now. I guess we'll get into that in a minute. But that's the thing. It was kind of interesting because I recently had to reach out to a friend of mine that I've been knowing for years, almost 30 years. And I have mentioned this to him before that there has been a bit of I don't think rift is quite the word, but our relationship could be a lot deeper. Our relationship could be a lot deeper. And I know I've known other people far shorter than I've known him, and have enjoyed a much deeper relationship. So I mentioned that to him, and I mentioned things to him throughout the years. And this time I really kind of put it out there, and I said, listen, I understand that. I wrote him an email, and I said, I understand that some things may not change from this email, and I have to accept that. I said, but I just have to let you know that my attempts for us to have a deeper connection have not been successful, and that it concerns me. It concerns me. But at the same time, you can't force people to open up and to be. They're going to be who they are based on their own reasons and their own choices. But so again, my big thing is, you know, just how much we as men need to open up to each other. We need to feed it ourselves and allow ourselves to be fed emotionally. And we need to do away with shame and guilt and just deal with the issues at hand first. So that's the main thing that came up for me.
Thank you. Thank you for that, for being an example of what you teach, because that's what's really needed. Joe, what about you? Anything been bubbling up for you? Maybe something new that came up from last show, or maybe in preparation for this show as it relates to men expressing themselves emotionally?
Well, the thing that occurred to me, you know, that I found myself thinking about this morning was the importance of conversations between fathers and children, and stepfathers and stepchildren. You know, I think we really do deal with generational cycles of silence between men and their children, that we don't really talk to our children about this, you know, the most pressing of things, including, you know, the most immediate of things, including how have we been changed as a person by becoming this child's father or stepfather. You know, how have they impacted us? You know, and then the other thing that occurred to me is, you know, how simple it is on one level to talk to small children, girls and boys, and, you know, and I would argue not to differentiate between girls and boys when having these kind of conversations, but to talk to them about emotional literacy. You know, whether it be at home or in a Sunday school or in a preschool or in a classroom, about, you know, here's what it means to know what's going on inside of yourself, in your soul, in your spirit, in your emotions, and here are some simple ways to talk about it. And, you know, and again, setting the example to reinforce what's already been said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Example, indeed. I love that generational cycle of silence. Whew, I can go many places with that. Don Wolf, what's been bubbling up for you from last show or in preparation for this show around this topic of men and expressing their emotional self, emotional literacy?
He just took what I was about to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just about to say that. Got to be more careful. I was at, it does revolve around communication and legacy. I was invited up to Edgewood, Maryland, as director of a rather, now that I've been there, I know it's a rather extraordinary Christian community center, and I learned a great deal. But one of the first things that happened when I walked up in there, the director, one of my brothers, and I wasn't in there 5 minutes. And this is a white church that invested in the community and decided to work in the black community, which is Edgewood, Maryland, up there, troubled area. My brother's been living there for a good while. I'm not in there 5 minutes, and these little delightful girls, most of them are white girls, and little boys, black kid, white kid, mixed, but they were kids. I'm 5 minutes, and I pulled out my story stones because they were intrigued by what I was wearing around my neck, and they looked in my eyes. And in the sharing, which went almost an hour.
What were you wearing around your neck?
I had some of my medicine around my neck. And one of the medicines was as a medicine pouch that has my father's medicine in it. And one of the many things that happened that connects to what was said previously was that we got to a point in the middle of the sharing, and the children were holding my talking stones, and I hadn't used them for almost a year, and the children holding them and talking began to make them come alive, and they began to pull out memories of their childhood as far back as a few months old. And then I asked them, they wanted to know, what's in your bag? I said, you never ask a man or a woman to look in their medicine bag. I listened to my medicine. My medicine said, show them. And I said, this medicine's for my father. He's older. He has a condition. And I'm going to show it to you because my medicine said, give it, let you see it. And I said, but on one condition. When you see the medicine, understand no one has ever seen this. My wife hasn't seen it. No one has seen this medicine.
Wow.
And you have to make a prayer to my father. And I pulled this out, and I set that there. When they looked at it and saw the item, they saw what it was, there was a collective, They felt it. And they immediately lapsed into silence and began to pray. And any child that came and wanted to be a part of, they would shh. And they tell them, you have to pray, and this is why. And that wrapped up, and that left me, that and other things that happened, left me with a lot of thoughts about the importance, again, of keeping the dream alive and the genius alive in children and being open enough, as you was said earlier, to the boys and the girls, so that they have a place, at least there's one place in their life where they can go and share and go to that magical place, because it's the magical place that keeps them as effective adults.
Mm-hmm.
Dig what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed. I dig it. I feel like I just want to have a moment of silence just based on what you just said. Like, let's just take that in. I'm digging it so deep. I feel one of you want to say something. I don't know if it's Kasembe or Joe.
I'm just in awe. I'm just listening. I was waiting for Brother Don Wolf to continue. That was a beautiful, man. What a beautiful story.
I'm going to go, but I'm really anxious to hear what all of us are going to say. I would add today
that, you know, what Don is talking about and what he demonstrated there is, you know, if we provide the opportunity, people will talk, you know. If we ask, people will talk. I've told you this story before, but you know, when I was gathering the information for my book about fathers who have daughters, I interviewed several hundred guys from all different kinds of backgrounds from all over the U.S. and did, you know, talk to these guys for 2, 3, 4 hours, some of them. And one of the questions I asked them was, who do you talk to about being a father? And about half the guys said, well, I talk to my wife or I talk to a woman about being a dad. You know, and of that half, there were maybe a half a dozen who said they talked to another man about being a father. But then the other 50% said they had never spoken to anyone about being a father. And they just talked to me for 3 hours. And I was a perfect stranger. It wasn't, you know, and it's like what Don Wolf was talking about in the church. It's like, it's not that these people lack for things to say. It's that it never occurs to them to say it. They never seek out opportunities to speak it. Others don't provide the opportunities, and people don't ask. You know, and it's a simple act of asking, you know, builds, you know, creates this safe space and builds this connection and builds this both confidence and awareness in the person being it.
Indeed. Indeed. So true. Profound, isn't it? Now, I wanted to throw this into the equation, and then we'll talk about article. This whole thing, you know, when you think of society and what we're talking about, of course, I'm right there. But what would you say? Someone saying, well, you know, you're literally going against the grain, asking men to be emotional. Men are not designed to be emotional. Men are supposed to be warrior. And if a man is in touch with his emotion, then he's going to be weak. He needs to be tough and not be able to be moved by what happens. What would you say with that? Let me go to Kasembe.
I would say that, you know, we have to kind of rethink these hard lines of delineation between male and female, particularly when it comes to the emotions. And when people say that, you know, my response is like, well, how has that been working for men? And, you know, the response, you know, I think that, you know, to me, as far as I'm concerned, is not very well about us walking around being closed off and this and that. I think that I don't think that we have an emotional body. We're human beings. So part of being human is having emotions with which to express yourself and also how to process the world. So I think that cutting that off is cutting off a part of your humanity. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, I think that people really, you know, when people say that, I think they need to rethink that, and I think that that's really, I think they've bought into a lot of roles and really kind of some fantasies and some falsehoods, some stereotypes that really don't serve. I think you can absolutely be in touch with your emotions and probably be an even more effective warrior and breadwinner and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because it broadens your awareness. So that's my response to that. I just don't, and I believe that perhaps men deal with their emotions differently. That's fine. We need to retreat at times more often, go into our caves, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's fine. But you cannot, to not deal with your emotions, whether you're male or female, it's a huge, huge, huge mistake. It's a huge mistake. It cuts you off from yourself. And it also cuts you off from knowing how to deal with other people on a profound level.
Mm. And I think what Kasembe says about fantasy is really important, you know, that it is a fantasy. That I think it's a misreading of history to say that, you know, men haven't accessed their emotions or that they don't use their emotions as part of their being providers and protectors. I mean, that's nonsense. It's elemental to how we have gone about that throughout history, you know. And I think it's a relatively recent construct. This whole idea that, you know, we have to stifle that part of ourselves.
Right, right. Don Wolf, what would you say if someone who would say we're going against the grain, man, and not supposed to be emotional, just got to be tough, you know, or else he can't protect his family. You know, can't be getting in touch with his emotion. What would you say to them?
It is going against the grain. Ain't no real man going to be sharing his thoughts and feelings and being vulnerable to nobody. You got to be hard and tough. Mm-hmm. You got to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm playing.
But, well, you see how we ended up. See what he had to do on the side.
Yeah.
That's what
happened with his relationship. Yeah,
that's right.
That cuts into being the superhero.
Right.
But it does cut against the grain. Even when I've talked to some of my white relatives, my men, about it, it has its place. And in the end, it does turn on you because you're internalizing emotions. And it also goes, and I had to understand where it come from. And I believe a lot of that doesn't come from our collective cultures. It comes from something outside of us. And even among white men I've talked about, they said that deep in some of their tribes, like the Celts, for example, they had ways of the men expressing their emotions. But I don't know whether that notion, where that notion came from, but I know it was transported and given to people of color. But today, past 40 years, white men have been pushing that coat aside because it takes a physical toll and it works against what they want to accomplish in their families. But it's still a structure that's there. And,
it is, and it's really powerful, and it's deeply internalized, you know. And I think it's you know, it's also, I think it's a product of the way we continue in this culture to conceptualize and treat women, you know, because we continue to treat women as lesser, less than, and that, you know, and we associate emotionality with women, so therefore being emotional is being less than because it's considered female, you know, so all of that ties together, and internalizing this notion that, that you can't touch that part of yourself and be safe. And you're right, John Wolfe, it is running against the grain, and it is, there are some ways in which it really is dangerous for a boy or a man to be that way. But, you know, over the course of a lifetime, it's more dangerous not to be.
Go ahead, Don Wolf. I wanted to ask you. Don Wolf, go ahead. Go ahead.
As a father, it works against your marriage and your children. And a personal story, which I shouldn't share because.
What do you mean that it works against your marriage and your children? What do you mean by
worked,
that?
My first marriage, it worked really hard, and it took me a long time before I would even say this in public. And because I got image to maintain, you know, understand?
So, right.
I remember having that inside of me, and I remember how I used it, and I will never forget how much it pained my first wife. And I realized, I think it was some white man said, he pointed out that my silence, he said, our silence as men is cruelty to our wives.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember now this guy, he told me that this man spent all of his marriage in a stone silence. And he told me afterwards that that killed and crushed his wife. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll never forget that. And so I had to do a lot of rethinking, apologizing, and all that stuff. Marriage didn't last 14 years. But that was one thing I really had to correct. And I used to sit down and make myself be vulnerable to Renee because it was a hard thing to overcome. And it did not coincide completely with the example my father set. And so I was thinking, well, how did I pick this up? And I thought, oh, my hero's on television. This is what I feel in the air, et cetera, et cetera. And the key, and this is tied in what we're saying, that helped me when I was this young husband was the conversations I had with older men and some of my peers. But you mentioned women. My mother gave me the words before I got married, her fear about me becoming that way. And she gave me some advice in my ear about having friends. My mother did not want me to be the type of man who could stand alone without really close men as my friend. She told me what the dangers were. So, this is but again, the best way that I've seen to undo it is to let other men see you or listen to conversations like this.
Yes.
Because that's nothing work. You have to live it. I let these young guys and older guys, you'd be surprised. I've met men in their 70s who still haven't done it.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that kind of goes into my, I want to actually ask this question because what Don Wolf just said works. It's, you know, we're talking about dealing with your emotions, expressing your emotions to all of us. Still talking, Joe, Kisembe, Don Wolf, and I'm sure our listeners, we sort of understand what it means with the idea of dealing with one's emotion or expressing it. But what would you say if you were sitting in a room full of men and one of them says, I keep hearing you say dealing with my emotions, expressing my, what does that really mean? How do I deal with my emotion? I don't know what you're talking about. Kisembe?
You know, it kind of goes back to Joe's earlier point about having emotional literacy, the tools of which to express those things and even identify those things in ourselves and not judge those things. When we judge our feelings, we tend to just kind of close the door and shut everything down. And I'm not sure off the cuff if I have the exact answer. I would say that, however, it starts with, just as Joe and Don Wolf are saying here, it starts with opening up the floor and allowing people to come forth with how they're really, really feeling without judgment, you know, without judgment, without critique, saying, listen, you know, brother, we need to, you know, however you're feeling, embrace that in this moment, no matter what it may be, embrace that in this moment, and perhaps particular topics can be brought up, and folks can talk, men can talk about how they feel about those particular topics, and then get to the core of how they feel. But I think the catch is creating that space without judgment, I think that.
Yeah. Joe?
That's really key. And I think, you know, some of the stuff that I've done is it seems really simplistic, but it has turned out to be really powerful in an environment like that, you know, that scenario that you presented, is to, you know, invite the whole group to each person individually write a couple of things down on a piece of paper, an index card or something, and I'll ask questions like, you know, write down two things you want your child to know before she or he leaves your home and becomes an adult. Or, you know, write down two things you wanted your father to know about you. And then it's a simple question. And I've never found anybody who wasn't able to come up with at least one answer. And then what I would do is gather up all of the pieces of paper, so then it becomes anonymous. And then write them down on the blackboard or a piece of paper or read them out loud. And then everybody experiences the commonality. It's like, I didn't write that down, but I too want my daughter to know that sex is only a part of love. I want my son to understand how important it is to have a friend who will lay down his life for you. You know, those sorts of things, and it gives the men in the room the experience of, A, I'm not alone. You know, all of us are using these things, and B, what I've written is an expression of emotion, and that it's okay.
Yes.
That's powerful. I hope you don't mind if I use that.
Please do.
Don Wu?
That's powerful.
I'll give you something else to use. There's a very, he's dead now, but in the Indian world, there's a Muskogee, a Creek elder who's a healer named Bearheart. And he was supposed, he died a few years ago, but just before he died, he was supposed to come to something I set up in the mountains of Virginia. Instead, he sent a gift. But one of the men that Bear Wolf adopted as his grandson was a white man with no Indian blood. And this brother and I reconnected. He had the energy, and his native name that was given to him reflected it, was a bear. Mm-hmm. And he said, we spent a week together in ceremony and learning from the elders. And he told me that Bearheart gave him a one teaching. And he said, I'm going to give you this medicine wheel teaching, and because I want you to teach white men this, and this is a teaching to help them to become better men. And so he said that he would sit, it was 4 men at a time, would sit in each of the four directions, and they would hold a talking feather. And each direction had a question that all 4 men had to speak, and the other 3 had to listen intently to it. And the 4 questions were, in the east was, what is honor? In the South, how do you protect the innocent? In the West, who is your enemy? In the North, when is enough enough? And that was all. And so he said it changed. Now, we're talking about a population of white men from the hills with the redneck legacy, the Klan legacy. This is who Bearhart wanted him to do this teaching with. And this is what he did. And I said, I asked him if he could gift that to me. He said, yes, take it. So I took it into the black community, and I started using it with young black men, hoodlums, thugs, thieves, car thieves, and gangbangers. And I'm gifting it to you guys because that tool is powerful, and it keeps unfolding from itself. But the second thing is I don't want to I don't want to venture into a conversation about manhood, us being men, that is leaves out the fact of what is in us that is distinctive to from women, but necessary for women's safety. Mm-hmm. And that's why I introduced that, because as this one military man that I know, I won't say his name, because I don't know if he's listening. But he'll recognize if I say it. White guy, high up in the Marines. His wife told me before he would even come to the medicine wheel teachings, the medicine wheel circles that we had, that I had, she said, my husband does not do that touchy-feely stuff. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us men don't do the touchy-feely stuff. It has to be done in the context of what a man is, not what a woman needs, but it has to be done in the context of what a man needs. And the caliber of men that protect, that will take you out, will take your life, they need another conversation that feels different and doesn't feel like they're sitting in the grass holding flowers.
I love that visual.
That's real.
Yeah, I get it.
That's real. You're right. I think, in other words, you know, men with our emotions, we need to deal with our emotions in a way that only men can, even if we need to devise another way, which we obviously do, or, you know, that way could be part of what you and Joe have said, Brother Don Wolf. But I think that we don't want to make the mistake of trying to mimic what women do in terms of emotions. That won't work for us because we indeed are different. Absolutely. I totally agree.
I get that. And that's the thing, because if we are being the example, we being men being the example, then we can be an example from a man's perspective. Now, it actually leads me to the next question, and I want to throw it to Joe first before we take a break, because I kept hearing it, and Don Wolf just went in that direction, is how can mothers or wives and girlfriends support their sons, their husbands, their boyfriend to, quote unquote, deal with this emotion thing, that with emotional self that we're talking about, but without doing it as in sitting in the grass holding flowers, as Don Wolf put it. So, Joe, because you know I work with females, and sometimes that's part of the challenge. He won't express himself. He can't. He's not vulnerable. He's too hard. Go ahead.
Right. Well, it's a similar thing, you know. To me, it's a real parallel thing to what I think most of my work is about fathering and parenting. You know, it's a parallel thing to talking to women about how men parent. That a lot of, you know, most of the time we're doing very similar things, but sometimes we're doing things very differently. But just because we do it differently doesn't mean we're doing it wrong. We can do things differently, express things differently, and still do it effectively. So that's the one thing, to be conscious of that. To be conscious, you know, I think encouraging men to have male friends, you know, to, you know, and supporting that and making room for that, you know, and being conscious of jealousy around that, just as we as men need to be, you know, honor that in women, and they're having women friends, you know, and having friends of the opposite sex too, Yeah. You know, that yeah. there it's possible for us to be friends and and emotional intimates and support one another across the gender lines. But I think also understanding that it's not simple.
Yes.
You know, that it's not like, you know, there's some formula you can follow or some glib answer you can give about how to do this, that it's that all of this stuff tends to be messy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always know when you're quote unquote there, you know, because
yes.
it's not really about the destination, you know? So it's hard.
So I want to ask you this before I move to Kasembe. It's what about mothers and their sons, especially sons who are in school around other boys who may be feeling like to express my feeling that I'm afraid, that I'm nervous, or whatever the case may be, that I'm feeling guilty, and show giving expression to that, my boys are going to think I'm a sissy. They're going to think I'm gay. How can a mother support their sons in this context? Joe?
Well, I think, by supporting them, by understanding that there are going to be months in a row. There are times when boys are going to be hurt in this process, and to be there and support them and hold them when they fall, and that fathers need to do that too.
Yes.
And not try and prevent it, not have the expectation that I can, you know, that the road of my child's life is going to be smooth all the time. But to teach them resiliency, teach them that they can survive these hurts, that, you know, I will be there for them in my own imperfect way, and that fathers and mothers both need to do this. I don't see this as a differentiation, and that it can have a powerful impact.
Yeah.
It works. I mean, my father was, he had a lot of problems, but he was physically affectionate with me growing up. And he was also physically affectionate with my two sisters. And he, looking back, I was totally unconscious of this at the time, but looking back on it, I can see that he did not differentiate between us because of our gender, you know. And so I grew up into young adulthood experiencing that is completely normal. And it wasn't until I was 19 years old and, I was interacting with some other male relatives who I had interacted with for years, that it finally dawned on me these men were uncomfortable with my coming up and giving them a hug. It finally dawned on me, oh, guys, don't do this. They don't hug each other. You know, I literally did not know that until I was 19 because my father had normalized that for me. So, again, looking back at it, I can see there were times where I suffered at the hands of my peers and was, mocked and things, but I survived. I had friends, I had male mentors, I had priests at the school that I went to who were there for me, there were uncles who were there for me, so... it's possible.
It is possible. It truly is. And I'm also thinking, real quick, because we're going to take a break soon. I'm going to go to Kasembe and then Don Wolf. But I'm also thinking about mothers who are raising boys in a society where we kind of think of, sometimes they get the message that a mother can raise a son, and we've talked about that in the last show. But the other aspect of that is a thought that I have that is, Yeah, and we'll talk about this other aspect when we come back after the break. But before we go for the break, let me just stick to that. Kasembe. So how can mothers, how can wives, girlfriends support their husband, their boyfriend, their sons in really embracing or connecting with their feelings without judgment?
I think I'm going to echo some things that Joe said here. I think one thing is to encourage that man or boy to connect with other men or other, you know, other men that or boys that they consider friends.
Right.
And if they see something that's bothering them, well, oh, okay, well, have you talked to such and such about it? You know, understanding that, hey, you know, as a woman, you may or may not have the answers, but encouraging them to reach out to another male to share, you know, to share that issue, and then perhaps that other man or boy can help you work that out. I think as well is in a way honoring these women need to honor the fact that these are men and boys that they're dealing with, which in some respects are different than a woman or a girl. So encouraging these men and boys to reach out to other men and boys to connect on that male level, that man level, whether it's emotional or otherwise, I think it's important. But the other thing I think is important too, though, is to encourage these men and these boys to still be true to themselves and to honor who they are. I think that's really, really important.
Right.
You know, don't feel, you know, although you may, you know, be dealing with some you know, some persecution, don't feel that you need to necessarily break. You know, find those people that are close to you that you can share, you know, your feelings with and discuss things with. But if it's true to you, then be the man that you are, and be prepared to stand on your own.
Yes, and you know, and I want to say something here about the encourage them to talk to other men or other boys, because that act itself of saying, "Have you talked to your friend, your best friend, that itself is giving the man, the boy, the permission to say, "Oh, I can talk," you know, and they may have never thought about that. So that itself is just as powerful. So I just wanted to highlight that, because that's very important. Yeah. Don Wolf, before we take a break.
Amen to what was said. I agree with that. What I would add to that, talking to the elders, speaking to the men, other men. I would also discourage women from doing this practice. I've heard it a number of times, and I've spoken to a few young guys who are affected by it, of having their mothers and other women in their lives starting a practice of comparing their husbands and their sons to gay men, and as if it is a standard that they should ascend to, and move it outside of all the fear that has been gathered around that whole question. We're just men in the realm of men. Don't do that.
Right.
The other thing is, I cannot overemphasize what was previously said. That's the most profound thing to do. The other thing is something very old, is teach your boy how to fight. You teach them how to fight, and you also have to give them the reasons, the important reasons to fight, and then you have to be an advocate in the schools, because the schools are teaching children how to be victims. They're punishing those who defend themselves. They're punishing those who are bullying, and then they're making money off of the campaign for bullying and teaching them nothing, because what they do is they're teaching collectively children how to be victims. And what you don't want is a boy to become a man under that system, because he won't learn how to protect if he gets punished for those things. You have to stand as a parent or a group of parents and shut that stuff down.
Right. You know what we're going
to
do? We're going
to
take a break, and we're going to come back, because I know a lot of people, especially we live in a society of lawsuit and politically correct, and you said teach them how to fight. Have to fight. So we won't even touch that right now. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to hear more about that, what you mean by teaching boys to fight. And there's so much more we want to cover. I want to also talk about the difference when it comes to expressing emotions with black men and white men. It's different because of the culture and the history of America. I mean, I'm talking for America right now. And I want to talk about that, and then we'll talk about the reverend who committed suicide, who was depressed and often about depression. So much is like popping up in my head, but let me just... Yes, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. We're here Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. All the shows are archived because you can always go back and listen, or if you miss anything. Today's conversation is we're having a conversation about expressing, helping men, sharing thoughts, insight, wisdom on how men can embrace their emotional self in order to develop a balanced life, a balanced living, and creating harmonious relationships. My brother friends, Kasembe Abena, he's a Reiki master, energy worker. Don Wolf is a writer, social activist, and a keeper of stories. Joe Kelly, author of books on fathering. He speaks and teaches building harmonious relationships between fathers and daughters. They're going to give you more information about their services, where you can find them if you want to contact them later. And, we're taking your calls if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, doubts, worries, fears, whatever it is. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. You can also post your questions on the like pages, land pages, Ask Life Coach Ade radio show, or the Life Conversations radio page. We are going to take a break, come back with Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and continue the conversation.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Mark Hussin, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Yes, for more information, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Lick-a-doodle shortbread, touchy nut bars. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Mark Hussin. When I created 12listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life. On demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 12listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Hussin, and 12listen.com and the 12 family are my purpose. Give us a try, and if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, indeed, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on Life Conversations Radio. Today's theme, topic, conversation, men expressing their emotional self, The theme for the month is living with the one. Who and what is the one to you? When you really know who the one is, that's your foundation for living a balanced life. We're going to continue the conversation, but before that, it's time for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. Hello, family. Hello, Celeste. I know.
I'm so happy you're so comfortable with your masculinity that you don't mind pretending to do my voice. With Coach Day.
I
want to talk about balance. I know.
Yeah, I am not tripping. What people say about me is a reflection of their consciousness. You know that, right?
Indeed. But I want to say hello to these beautiful brothers you got in the house, Joe Kelly, Kazembe, and Don Wolf, and my dear brother, Life Coach Today. There are two things, real quick before I could do Celestial Moment, that came to my mind. As a woman who appreciates masculine energy, the two places that I learned about men, besides the men in my family, music and movies. And I had this flash of Bedazzled, which is a remake, but I'm not going to go there, with Dudley Moore. Brendan Fraser, Elizabeth Hurley is the remake. And Brendan Fraser is trying to get this girl of his dreams that he loves so much. And so he asks for all these things from the devil, you know, disguised as a very gorgeous woman. So, you know, like, well, maybe if I was more sensitive, I could get this girl. And so he ends up being a guy who, like, cries at everything, like crying at the sunset, crying when he saw some birds. And in the end, you know, she, you know, laughed at him, and she wanted the masculine dude to kick sand in his face. She's like, you just cry too much. So I'm like, wow. So here's that energy about the sensitivity. You know, we say we want it, but if it shows up out of balance, it's not sexy. And then the other thing, real quick, I sent this to you last night today because one of the gentlemen said it. Rat Pack. Love those guys. Every single one of them, okay? But there's one Rat Packer, Dean Martin, who is notorious for being really funny but emotionally void. And there was a scene in that movie where his wife asked him, you know, he was reading an article about some bad times that Frank Sinatra was having, and she said, honey, have you talked to Frank about that? And he said, look, sweetie, we keep it light. We keep it simple. We talk music. We talk sports. We talk blah, blah, blah. And she goes, well, if you don't talk to Frank Sinatra about your intimate feelings, then who are you talking to about your intimate feelings? And then he says, honey, in order to share intimate feelings, you got to have intimate feelings. Now, this time was during the 50s, you know, the 60s. But women, I know I, for one, think that's sexy. But we didn't know the background. Yeah, he's funny, and he can make us laugh, and he can sing about love. But at the end of the day, even he was still in a closet and not being able to emotionally express himself. So I'm really grateful for this conversation. And I just wanted to share that, put that in the mix before I do Celestial Moment. And we'll do the article. We'll set up for that.
Right, right. So let's do Celestial Moment and then go back to Don Wolf real quick to talk about teaching boys to fight. And then we'll talk about the article.
Wonderful. Okay. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. Numbers give us information that help us navigate and embrace all that is showing up in our life right now. Welcome to the exciting, adventurous energy of a new moon in Sagittarius today. This fire energy advises us to expand with playful Jupiter and get ready to experience more in our life. The energy of the day is 3, and if it happens to be your birthday today, then it's your lesson number for the whole year. 3 is the number of creativity. It represents synthesis, triad, past, present, future, thought, word, action. It demonstrates love through creative imagination, comprehensive and fulfilling. In the medicine cards, 3 represents the elk, and it has the gift of stamina. 3 also shows up in tarot as the empress. She promises abundance and prosperity, the representation of the good mother, or as I like to say, the embodiment of goddess energy walking the earth. 3rd letter of the alphabet is C, and words like community, connection, and communion reflect the magical power of number three. Now, the World card in tarot is the last card for Major Arcana. Its number is not three. It's actually 21. But when you add 2 plus 1, you get 3. So here we go. The World is the completion of your spiritual journey in tarot. As you walk the developmental stages from 0 full to the 21 world, you have acquired the tools for expansion in your life, the end of the hero's journey. This is a time of celebration. Whether reversed or upright, the World acknowledges that you have walked your own private initiation. And guess what? This ending is really a new beginning. We are often given opportunities to create and manifest our heart's desire. It's not a time to become stagnant or feel like there's not any more to learn. Consciousness will always open you up for infinite possibilities. Just make sure you're not missing the open doors. Reflect on a garden of experiences of bittersweet delights, trials, successes, challenges, and disappointments. It's all needed for all the phases of your life. You become a master when you allow it all in. Trust the bending and shifting with an open heart, for your heart truly knows the path to your soul. All is well, and that's the story of three, Tilted the World card in tarot. I'll see you on Wednesday, around 1, for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste, and your seagull friends.
Yeah, right? Okay, yeah. So let's get to it.
Yeah, well, before we do the article, let me go to Don Wu first. I really want
to
clear
that. Okay, you got something to say?
Yeah, he got something to say. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. The number is 347-426-3346. We have some of you listening on the phone lines. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, doubts, worries, fears, press 1 on your keypad and we will come to you. Let me go to Don Wolf. Don Wolf, you said we must teach our boys to fight. In a society where we're teaching them to be a victim, can you please explain yourself?
Well, the United States has a complex nature. Their contradictions are gross, and the contradictions come back and bite, and viciously. We're a nation that has a long 5-century history of preying on every culture around the world, taking, killing, and on and on and on. You come during the period after 9/11, when all that shit came running back home and caught up with us, and all of a sudden you change your tune in the middle of invading another country, which was, if this country we claim to be a Christian nation, which is the birthplace of, according to the Bible, of where at the Garden of Eden is. So they go to where the Garden of Eden where the Bible says used to be, invaded, all this stuff. And then in the middle of all this, they come home and they're sounding righteous by having campaigns against bullying. While rewards for bullying are enormous. They're in the billions of dollars. The only ones who are fooled by this are the adults. And what's pitiful, and children watch this, and I've had young kids and as young as in the 8th grade confront me angrily about the contradiction. Our actual life is, we're creating schools, as a number of young people have said, that is preparing children, boys in particular, Black boys and Hispanic boys in particular, to go to jail. Mm-hmm. They create the school environment saying we're creating a safe environment, so we put up metal detectors, we put up policemen and security guards who are at the ready, not to resolve anything, but to make arrests. We have administrators who will not do anything but punish, and then we have administrations, and Obama's in particular, that puts more money into punishment and enforcement and less money into what is actually needed. And in the midst of all of this, we have families where there are sexual predators in there. We have people, we have thousands and tens of thousands of our children living in neighborhoods where they're preyed upon. and they have prayer, and they're praying that it don't get killed. We got rich white folks, who young white kids, who are being preyed on because they're of their wealthy and their privilege. In the midst of all of this, we have the nerve and the audacity to try to tell kids, don't hit back, don't strike back. The only one word for that is bullshit. because in the real world, our sons are looking at us to protect them.
Yes.
And pull them out, because to them, it's very clear that that you're not being honest with them. The fact is that among African Americans, among Native Americans, when I say Native Americans, I'm including Hispanics, because the Hispanics are connected to Indian tribes and African tribes. That's 25% of the United States, where you have a large percentage of the boys who have in their bones, they have the spirit of the warrior. And you're going to tell them not to fight? That's wrong. Because what you do, if you try to play this game, you create monsters.
Mm-hmm.
You create killers. You have to have men out there who know how to train a killer. The way you train a killer is to teach him how to be a healer. You give him choices. You teach him the complexity of healing and taking life at the same time, and you have to embody it all. There, you can't do anything else with a young man who was born to fight. You can't do that with a young woman. I've been meeting, and I'm trying to figure a way to get some of these old women, Indian and black women, who grew up in the worst of times, Jim Crow, what happened on the reservation, and African women who did not know how to keep their mouths shut but would fight a drink of water because something was wrong in the community. Why would anybody discourage the fight in people? It's the fight that stimulates activism. It's the fight that creates the change. You have to teach the young people how to fight, but you have to give them the reasons to fight. You have to teach them to discipline their spirit. Anything else is bullshit. It's not true. It's not real. You will only create your Frankenstein. That's why I said that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, what Brother Don Wolf is saying, which I agree with, is that it's about responsibility, you know, and it's about you can't, particularly when you're talking about boys and men who have this aggressive male energy, how do you focus that? How do you use it? How do you control it and it not control you? Well, they have to be trained. They have to be trained. I know that when I was raised by my mother and grandmother, and I was raised not to fight. My uncle would take me, and I was learning some Hungar early on in my early teens and, you know, things like that. But, you know, once I started to, you know, hang out with my friends, that kind of dissipated. But something inherently told me that I needed to really train and learn how to defend myself and become more of a warrior on my own. So I took up martial arts later on in life, my late 20s, early 30s, and I'm still training to this day. But that is something that in a controlled, focused environment, it teaches you discipline, which Don Wolf said. It teaches you responsibility, which he talked about. And it also teaches you how to face fear and deal with fear.
Right.
And those are immensely important, tremendously important, to being a man, particularly in this society. You know, so I absolutely agree, you know, with all those other things in place that, you know, I'm not saying that everyone needs to go and get a black belt. But they, you know, men, particularly nowadays, they need to embrace that side of themselves. They need to embrace that side.
Joe, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, the first thing I want to say is the importance of the distinction between, you know, that there is a distinction between fighting and violence.
Right.
That, you know, that violence is not necessary always to fight and to fight for oneself. And, you know, and the key, that it's so essential, the issue of discipline, you know, self-discipline being woven together here. I remember my first encounter with martial arts was when my daughters took Taekwondo. And I was really skeptical. And you know, and I went and watched some of these practices, and it was, I was so moved by seeing the respect that was being taught, how it was completely gender neutral, you know, it was like, and it was all about your ability, not your age. There was all of this, these assumed privileges that were just wiped out in that room. And discipline was, you know, so key to it. And the understanding in that environment about how nurturing discipline is, how much it helps you discover yourself, and, you know, and how, what a rich experience it is to become disciplined. You know, so we are, I think, too glib often in our in the larger culture and how we talk about this sort of stuff. You know, that we equate discipline with punishment, that we equate fighting with violence. You know, that it's much more complex than that.
Indeed. I mean, there's so many things that you gentlemen have raised, and I definitely agree with the contradiction in society. I mean, I've always said that, the whole thing about telling boys and girls, don't fight, don't hit back, tell a teacher, tell an adult, while the video is full of violence, while everything, we go into war. And, it's contradiction. There's a lot that Don Wolf said that I really want to unpack there. I don't know if we have enough time. I like the idea of saying teaching them to be healers and the martial arts, to be able to harness the energy.
For another show on it.
Yes, indeed, especially because I know, I'm like, that whole thing about taking life, I think we need a whole show for that so that we can really go deep, because I really believe, you know, I don't really want to support, I'm never afraid to say this word anyway, I'm not really a fan of supporting bullshit. And I think that caused all of us to really be up the creek without paddles, and we need to really confront the truth if we want to make a difference. Now, we got a caller. Let's go to the caller, and then when we come back, this article of this reverend, this minister that we keep talking about, hopefully we can get to it. I don't know, because it's really about depression, and I don't know if we want to go that, because the last thing I really wanted us to talk about is what Don Wolf brought up, and the question was, is it a good idea to encourage young boys to be vulnerable and in touch with their feelings? Some might say we're setting them up to fail, especially in society, they're attacking them. And then we're talking about young black boys in America. It's a different kind of treatment. And I don't know, maybe we'll leave the article to another time, or we'll just talk about depression next time. But let's take a call right now. Let's go to Mother Wit. Valerie, somebody's phone is doing something, so I'm going to put somebody on. Hey, Valerie, how are you doing?
Hey, Ade. I am so grateful for this show. I'm just listening and beaming from ear to ear. And when the topic came about the fighting, I just had to press one.
Who you want to fight? Bring it. I'm press one now.
My I was pressing, yes, again and again. One. I just want to say that the indigenous ones knew that we live in a violent world. You know, if you go to the as far back as you can, the cavemen were afraid of the dinosaurs, and that was the difference between light and dark and caves. And you know, they understood what a rock was, a weapon, and they had to learn how to fling it, and it became a part of them. It became an extension of them. And most of the martial arts, they are based upon nature and natural forms, and it is about honoring the intent. It's not just about, and like one of your panelists was saying, there are degrees to violence. There are degrees to fighting. There are degrees. You don't have to go from A to Z if, you know, you give what the case calls for. You don't have to bring level Z, you know, fighting or violence intensity or rating to something that's just A or B, you know, that you could just look at, just like with a child. A mama can look at a child, a mother and a father. They can look at a child and stop that child in its tracks. They don't have to you know, necessarily go to Z and pull down their child's, you know, pants and swat them on the butt. It depends on what is necessary. And in the whole thing, it is about honoring. I know the Army, when they teach you about your weapons, they teach you that that is a part of you, that you are a part of your weapon, that you and that weapon are one. And that when teaching, I'm one to believe that boys and girls should learn how to fight, because in learning how to fight, you're learning how to take control of yourself. Mm. You're learning how to defend yourself. You're learning who you are as a person. And fighting and loving go hand in hand. And healing, all of those go hand in hand. You can't be one without the other, or you're not balanced.
Mm. Okay. I just want to bring you guys back on and hear your thoughts. And let me go to Kasembe. Your thoughts, Kasembe?
I agree with what Mother Witt said. Very, very insightful. We've mentioned balance here before, and I think that it is about balance. When you have control over a certain power, when you're taught properly, with the other, you know, principles of respect and discipline, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it gives you a certain level of confidence. And meaning that there may be a fight that's presented to you, and you may simply put your hand on this person and say, hey, man, you know, no need to fight, I'm good, you know, let's just walk away. And you may know that, you know, just the way you have your hand on this person, they may not know, but you have them controlled, and, you know, you can win the fight. you have that sort of confidence, seriously. You know, I mean, that's
yeah.
When you have that sort of confidence, you feel less that you have something to prove,
mm-hmm.
because you've been training, you've been in situations, you had this guy and he didn't know it. You can walk away from things. So, you know, focused intent in terms of training, knowing how to fight, knowing how to heal at the same time, balance. I think it's essential in being a human being. I really do. Mm-hmm. And when I was part of a dojang studying a Korean style of martial art called Hwarangdo, I was one of the assistant instructors. And I would time and time and time again see children come in there. Parents would bring their children in, and perhaps their grades were low. Perhaps they had disciplinary problems. When I tell you a month or two in the dojang, those grades were up. No more issues at school.
Yep.
I'm telling you.
They're keeping their best mate at home. They're being responsible.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The chores at home they didn't do before. I'm telling you, it can be absolutely transformative.
Right. Joe, what would you want to
do? Well, I guess I want to share something from my own experience. I, from an early age, and I don't know how this happened, but I actively decided not to use violence, to be a pacifist, if you will. And I want to preface this by saying I grew up in suburbs, in, for all intents and purposes, entirely white communities. We were very conscious of ethnic, Polish, Italian, Irish, so I didn't encounter guns, but I did have occasions, and this was the 60s and 70s, I had occasions where knives were pulled on. And I remember one particular occasion, in the woods on the way to school, or a peer pulled a knife on me, and I was terrified and was at the same time completely conscious of and committed to not engaging in violence. And that what I did in that moment was I kept repeating to him, I am not going to hurt you. I am not going to hurt you. And I don't know where that came from, but something in me understood that when a person chooses violence, there is some part of them that desires to be hurt themselves. because that's what happens. So that's the consequence. And by my repeating that over and over to him, it diffused the situation, and he walked away. You know, and that was my standing up for myself. That was defending myself. That was fighting, if you will. But it's not what we think of as fighting, you know. And I, you know, and I would have been screwed if he had decided. I had no training in self defense. I no idea how to prevent somebody from, you know, stabbing me or using his energy against himself or any of that sort of stuff. Anyway, I just wanted to, you know. And to pass that out there, that is also a deep tradition. In our history of battling without violence, battling with nonviolence.
And I'm grateful you sharing that, because I really want to stay on this topic rather than go into depression, because depression happens when we're not in touch, when we don't feel safe to share ourselves. Okay, that's chemical depression, I get that. But there's a lot of men and boys who are holding so much in that they end up exploding and ending up in jail. And this conversation is going to the question that I wanted to ask anyways, but, you know, how do we teach young boys? And then I really want to just really say, as I see it here, especially when we're talking about young black boys who feel vulnerable, they feel the world is against them. They see in the news when they get stopped by the police officers, the parents are saying, be careful, I want you to come back alive. And Don Wolf, I want to come to you as we get ready to release the show. It's how, especially, and then those of us as parents and adults who were saying this should never be a reason for people to fight, even though we buy them a video where they're, Grand Theft Auto and beating up people and killing people and blood everywhere and, let's go to war. Can you, and I don't, well, this is, I'm going to ask the question the best way I know how, and I really want you to go what's real for you, which you will anyway, but really helping the adults, the parents, to understand what you're saying about fighting and violence. Is there a distinction for you? And if there is, what does that look like? And I love what Mother Witt said, you know, when you are getting the training, you may not have to use your fist or, you know, just your energy itself, because you're standing so confidently, you can move energy. You talked about being a healer. So I just want to hear a little bit more, and we definitely will continue the conversation next month, because the plan is to have a show like this once a month and to see where it leads us. So I'm just going to throw it over to you.
Mother Witt said, and I quote, because I wrote it down, she said, fighting and loving go hand in hand.
I wrote that down, too. I was like, huh, wait a minute.
Yep. It's true in a marriage, isn't it? It's true in a marriage.
That's true.
And my mother's the one that showed that to me. The answer to the question, the first thought that came to me was the fact that most of the fights I had growing up, I lost. But everybody who beat me never wanted to fight me the second time, because they thought something was wrong with me. Because I was, my mother gave me my first fighting lesson. But my mother, as far as I can remember all of her stories and her sisters, Mommy didn't get into fist fights. But Mommy is the first one that taught me how to physically defend myself. But she did it at such a level that whether I got beat up or not, no one wanted to fight me again. At 14, I got into a fight, I think I shared this with you before, with a white boy who called me a nigger. I commenced a whooping on him, and that white boy beat me so bad. I had to stand back, take the beating, and admire how pretty he looked whipping me. That little white boy was pretty smooth and elegant, and he whipped the spit, tar, and elegance out of my body.
Wow.
But I waited, because I knew every bully has one flaw. And you can tell this to a bully in front of his victims. He will never get it. I've tried it. They never get it. And the thing is about bullies, They always wait for you to concede defeat, and their body, they haven't disciplined themselves. Their body reflects their thought, and at that moment, they always drop their guard, and I waited for it, and I went in. I gathered all of my chi, and I cracked the bone in his face.
Wow.
I heard the sound. Wow. And then he shook it off like an elephant shaking dust off his back. I went, oh, no, he's coming back for more?
Wow.
And he went on, and he commenced to whooping me up with new, renewed energy. I wouldn't give up because I was going to come in. He's going to do it again. I'm taking everything. I'm blocking as best as I could. I'm going in because he's going to do it again. He did it again. I wanted to break and collapse the bone in his face. And the principal stopped me in midair. Woods, hit him. I'll call your father. I froze. I was afraid of God and Daddy, and that order changed month to month. When I went home, I told Daddy. I cried. I said, Daddy, I hate fighting. I'm so tired of it, and I cannot stand the sound of broken bones. I can't. To this day, I can't stand it. And every man I had to fight and break something, the sound sickened me. Daddy said, Gregory, it's time for me to teach you about words. And Daddy sat me down. He taught me how to use words in so powerful a way that I never fought until my early 30s when I got into law enforcement. And even then, I had learned so much and applied these things. And what Mother Witt said was true. Mommy made it very even more simple because Mommy said, told me, and she told all of us, she said, you have to have a reason for fighting. What are they? And at the end of the conversation, we would fight, I'm talking about all of her kids, we would fight to protect ourselves, our family. And Mommy looked at me because she knew me. She said, and you, Gregory, you have to decide which fight to fight because you like to protect the underdog. She said, I don't know where you got that from. So Mommy gave me special tools. And that's why Joe's story touched me because those are the type of guys that I protected. And I learned in the hard world of men, a lot of these thugs and gangsters, like when I was coming up, I don't know about today, but a lot of them protected people like Joe because they were articulate and they had their voice. A lot of the worst criminals don't have a voice, and like every man people who fight in wars are always waiting for somebody to get their head together to stop the killing.
Yep.
And there's something inside of a lot of warriors and fighters to protect people like Joe. Because those are the ones who put bread on your table. Those are the ones who are going to talk sense and keep your family together, keep the sex and the conversation coming from your woman, and you protect them. There's something that's the other side. And that's what I learned how to protect. And my parents made some decisions, and my baby brother to this day has never had a fist fight because we ensured that Michael will grow up completely engrossed in exactly what he was born to do. And so we learned this as we were growing up, how to protect people like Joe and Michael, because those are the ones that we cannot function without them. You have to make sure that their lives are peaceful, stress-free, and that nobody touches them. That's another reason for fighting. And people have, and then if you, when that's valued, people like Joe are valued, and they give the gift that they give, it all comes back on you. That's one of the most profound reasons for teaching our learning how to fight is to protect people like Joe and Michael because they are the voice. They keep us alive.
Okay.
Woo! Okay. Woo, have I been stretched. And I love it. You know, to summarize, you know, just what I'm hearing this whole thing about, and I keep seeing the image that they talk about men sitting on grass holding flowers. So when we are talking about expressing emotions, that it's really being able to harness and emphasize what makes a boy, what that masculine energy. So it's not just being able to be able to say, well, I feel sad, I'm afraid, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm excited, but it's more also it's teaching the boy, it's the man learning the power of his masculine energy, the archetypal energy that runs through his blood. And this, you know, just taking, it's doing all kind of thing to my head right now. And especially this whole thing about fighting and violence and being able to distinguish it, because I know it could be hard for some people sometimes to kind of say, now I hear what they're saying, but it's never right to fight. But the same people who say that will definitely say, you know, well, they're probably more, actually, not probably, definitely not probably, they will be more in support of war. Well, if they attack us, we've got to attack them, because if we don't, they're going to attack us. So it's really, this is now going even deeper. How do we, maybe part of this conversation of supporting men to connect with their emotional self is understanding what it means to be an expression of this masculine energy. And we'll keep the conversation going even between shows, because I want to delve deeper into about setting ourselves free. I am so, so grateful for you guys beyond words. And I just want to thank you for your insight. Thank you for sharing your heart, your feelings, your masculinity with us, your experiences. And Don Wolf, how can people reach you if they want to contact you? Especially since you brought the equation about fighting and violence and taking life, well, you better tell them where they can find you.
You funny. I wish somebody would. Well, if you stand between two trees, put your palm on the tree and stand like Samson between the pillars of the temple in Babylon among the and before he killed the Philistines in his last act of power, and call upon my name, I shall call forth spirit to spirit. But if that doesn't work, you can hit me on Facebook.
That's a little bit esoteric.
Is this what we've come to now?
Okay, I'm not going to apologize. I could not. I had to get that out.
Definitely.
I love that.
I think my Facebook page, I think it's facebook.com/keeperofstories.
Keeper of Stories. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Or Gregory E. Woods.
Okay. And here's a man of many names. Don Wolf, Gregory E. Woods, Keeper of Stories, Facebook. Kasembe, how can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/Kazembe, that's C-A-Z-E-M-B-E. Please feel free to connect. I'd also love to keep the conversation going. And, first of all, Brother Don Wolf, thank you so much for the medicine that you shared with us earlier. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that. And I so much appreciate Brother Don Wolf and Joe's comments and wisdom here. This has been a phenomenal. These discussions are phenomenal, and they feed my soul. They feed my soul. So thank you so much to both of you, and also Brother Ade, Bradley Insight and Wisdom, even have a show like this, brother. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. My soul is fed indeed. Joe, how can the listeners find you? Find out more about your work.
Well, I just wanted to echo too that it's we got to keep these conversations going. It's really good, and it really do feed my soul as well, and I really appreciate all of the sharing and all the ideas I get, the energy I get from talking with you all. So people can find me on the internet at joekelly.org, and it's J-O-E-K-E-L-L-Y. Kelly spelled correctly with only one E.
He said correctly. No E, none of that.
No extra E. And I'm also I'm on Twitter at JoeKelly3. On Twitter.
Oh, JoeKelly3. So that daily thought. That's your celestial woman was dedicated to you then, huh? Number three. That's your number.
Yeah, gentlemen. So thank you.
Yes. let's keep the conversation going. This show is to stimulate thoughts, listeners, and contact them, ask questions, grow, because we need each other. We're all in this together, and you know, we got to create this space for what we need and what we desire, what we know is true. My soul is fed. I am so full. I'm so grateful. And tomorrow, what am I doing tomorrow? Well, I have a show tomorrow. I know that much. And the show is called Living with the One. That power, that presence that is you, that healer that is within you, that lover that transcends words, you know, that power within you to harness all of life. And what is that like for you? And instead of walking around, as Don Wolf said, like as a victim, it's time for us to wake up and ask ourselves, what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be a soul in a body? That's what these conversations are about. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Mother Witt, thank you for your comment. Those of you in the chat room that are listening that were just feeling like, whoa, really? Thank you, thank you. Those of you who shared the show, thank you. The show is archived, and you can always go back and listen. And we'll be back tomorrow, and feel free to go to the like pages and share your thoughts about today's show. We're going to continue the conversation. As I said before, the thought, the intention is to have the brothers come back every month and talk about issues, particularly from a male perspective, but issues of spirituality in men, if you will. And Julia, thank you for your comment. She said, hey, Adi, I haven't read this before, so hopefully I can read this out loud. Well, it's on Facebook, so I can read it out loud. I really enjoy the show. Okay. Here it is. I got to read this out. She said, I really enjoy the show. However, I am still unsettled about the fighting. I guess I need a deeper understanding of what purpose that serves. It didn't resonate with me, but I want to understand. Awesome show. I look forward to more discussion. So, yeah, let's talk about that. We're going to talk about that next month. I know it's unsettling, and that's good. When we're unsettled, that means we're growing because we can get comfortable sometimes that we're missing out what we need. Wherever you are, whatever's working for you, keep doing it. Trust the process of life. And, yes, when the part of it's like, whoa, this is radio, man. But I understand we got to start having real conversations. I invite you to be love. It is the essence of who you really are. Be true to yourself. You deserve it. And allow yourself to be loved. This is Troy Horn, God-like. You can find him at TroyHorn.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being willing to grow and expand. Troy Horn, God Light. I'm out.
Weekend's gone. I can't believe how fast this thing called life goes on. I still recall when I was young. The mama's baby has a daughter and two sons. Radio, don't play my song. My kids rock out, they know the words to sing along. Circle of life, it's kind of strange. Sometimes it breaks my heart, but all of life is changed.
When I look into their eyes, I see their God-like.
Got the sun in their smile,
so bright.
And no matter what I hear about the
dark night,
I know that
everything around me is perfect.
flow, shed this light, let it glimmer on gold. When it all falls, let it simmer on hope. Just yesterday, I was blue, holding in my head. Living in a world with so much death, I just wanna live with no regrets. Golden sunlight, the soldier's young mind. This morning gunfights and running for one time. I love the night, but I prefer the dawn. When I see the yawns, have no pity on me. Walk along before I pass the torch. Craft the future in my fragile palm. The hand is down, you are the last resort. And through you, I live on.
When I look into your eyes, I see the sun in the sky, your future's so bright. And no matter what I hear about the dark night, I know that
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.